All right. So, first episode of Soul Food and Salsa. Got my boy Bean Squad here, and it's JB the G. You ready to kick this thing, my boy?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, what's our first topic? What we starting off in the inaugural season episode?
I mean,
we should, Soul Food and Salsa. Go ahead.
We should just jump right into it. Let's start with Dwight Howard and what he's talking about and how he does those little funny things during the games. And
all right, freaking Dwight Howard. If you don't know, it's been on the internet that Dwight Howard, NBA player Dwight Howard, former Laker. I really didn't like that shit, by the way. I'm a Laker fan. But anyway, has been caught up with a transgender. So I know you've seen that too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was always seemed kind of fishy when he was always smiling and playing around, and he was always soft. And when he went to the Lakers, he had the back problems. But now they say it's taken to a whole different level.
Yeah, man, I see that he they say he got his back blown out by some dude, man, or something, man. I seen this one thing where he was grabbing somebody balls on the sideline or something, man. What do you think of that?
I mean, when he was, you know, that's that. I've heard this term, all right? This is a term I heard by a couple of old NFL players, and they say they call it, they playing gay. They play gay in the locker room, around naked, slapping each other. And so I didn't get behind it, but I can see when you're amongst men for so much or so long, for so many years, I don't know, man. I don't see me doing it, but I can see how they do it.
I mean, dude, when I played sports growing up, and you know the coaches, you slap you on your ass and shit. I never liked that shit. I never fucking liked that shit. But I mean, he grabbing balls, and then he got this dude. I looked it up. In the transgender person's name is Mason Elijah or something like that. And he, you know, it's recordings of them going back and forth, alleged recordings. So, I mean,
the girl looks kind of like him. Looks kind of like him being his sister. I mean, she got the square jaw. She got the big forehead. And I don't know, man. You tell me. It looked like a wig to me. And I've seen some good wigs and weaves and whatnot. But it really looks like if he would have dressed up himself and just did something crazy, like put the women's clothes on.
I mean, but it's all alleged, though. The thing is, though, but this man, woman, child, whatever, you know, I mean, it has recordings. She has recordings of Dwight Howard. It's the pastor involved. I mean, it's all alleged. But I mean, I'm just seeing Dwight Howard hasn't responded to anything. So
I believe, you know, it's true. I mean, I know we're going to say alleged because it hasn't been proven, but I believe it's true. And I'm at the point with these dudes, these athletes, you know, let's just go ahead and say it, Anthony Hernandez and them. I'm at the point with these dudes. If they gay and they want to, or they're playing gay or whatever the case may be, I mean, it really don't matter.
Nah.
Because your teammates got to know to some point. The other stars got to know to some point. And really, if that's who you are at this point, it's like, fuck it. I don't know. It's kind of like our other topic we want to get in touch base with is with the homosexuality on TV. I think maybe that's why I'm so okay with it at this point, because they're making it very common and it's just in my face a lot now. It's kind of like, I forgot about how it used to be when we didn't have it.
Well, here's my thing, okay, on that. Me, personally, you know, I'm not for homosexuality. No, I don't believe in it. But at the same time, you know, I'm a man of God. We're all God's people. You know, I'm not judging you on what you do. You know, but I just feel like every time I turn on the TV right now, you know, I see it on every single show that I watch.
Yeah.
On every single show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm all, you know, for equality, but why does it have to be on every single show that I watch? On every single show?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. And it's almost to the fact where it used to be on shows like HBO and Showtime, and you could keep it away from the kids and put off the conversation of having with your kid and say, you know, this is why that man is kissing that man or that boy is kissing that other boy. But now it's like on mainstream TV, and that's like prime time between the hours of 6 and 8, where everybody's watching TV as a family. And they're showing the homosexuality, he, she, transgender, no gender. Some say no gender. Hey, I'm not a girl or a guy.
That's true.
I'm in between. I tuck it and I pull it out when I need to. I tape it down and I make it longer when I need to. I'm like, man, I don't know what to say.
But as a parent who doesn't believe in that, you know, I feel like it's just blatantly, they're just throwing it in your face, like dodgeball, you know, just throwing it in your face, just throwing it in your face. And so my thing is, you know, you, my friend, are Hispanic. Me, I'm a black man. You know, I wouldn't be mad if a show didn't have one single black person. Would you be mad if a show didn't have one single Hispanic person on it?
No, because sometimes when they put a Hispanic person in the show or a black person in the show, it's forced.
It is totally.
And it looks awkward. Awkward. There's no reason for that dude to be on that show.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So I feel like you don't need a homosexual person on every single show. But it feels as though they have to have one on the show to say, hey, look, we're advancing. But at the same time, it's kind of like they're just basically saying like, well, we don't care about the rest of the populace or whatever. We don't care about the people who aren't with that. You know, and like I said, look, I have, you know, I've had lesbian friends. Now, I don't have any homosexual friends, male friends. But that's just me. But I have had male homosexual coworkers. Don't have any issues with them. Never have. I treat them like an individual. They treat me like an individual. I respect them. They respect me. That's fine. You know, but I just feel like, why does it have to be so in your face? Like, they just have to have one on every single show. Why?
They're trying to normalize it. They're normalizing the situation. They're making it feel like it's normal to be that way. And it's not normal. But at the same time, you know, you're almost putting the ideas in people's head that, hey, maybe you might like it if you want to go dress like a woman. You never know. How about you try it? We're good not dressing like women. We're good not having to have those thoughts and so forth. Like today, I was listening to, you know, I was listening to a couple of guys I was listening to during the day. And he's like, they brought up the topic of Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye and his pops, both cross-dressers. Oh, everybody, really? Everybody in the house was either homosexual or lesbian. And they're all the siblings. And it's like, what was going on? It's like, what's going on here? It's almost to the point of a conspiracy type of deal. Because why are you taking these icons who are role models and
dress them up
and dressing them up and drag, or to the point of making them like gay so they can be less masculine and powerful and try to dress them down type of deal. And it's funny because Dwight Howard wanted to go to the Hawks. Now we all know about Atlanta. ATL doing some type of gayness. And then you know about pastors, they'd be the first ones to be gay or have a pet or have a child or have some weird stuff going on. And they go up on Sunday and say, oh, God will damn you. And as soon as they leave that podium, they go and do their gay shit.
Yeah, they do. And speaking of that, so what's this about the mega churches? What's the deal with these mega churches?
I don't know.
Man?
Like the local here, T.D. Jakes. Okay, you tell me you got a congregation of 5,000 plus people, but your son's wilding out in the streets, flipping birds, selling keys, and you can't control your own house? You're supposed to tell me how to control my house? And your own son, who is supposed to be your kin, and you can't raise him, but you trying to tell me how to raise my kids and how to tell me how to live? It's like, come on, bro. Take care of the house first, then come try to tell me how to do things.
Man, you know something. I actually been to one of his churches, though. It's not that big, you know.
The Eibach?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Nah, I've been to one of his churches before. But I've never been to a quote-unquote mega church. But, you know, I mean, these days, it's kind of like, what is it about? Is it about the religion or is it about the dollar? You know, because right now, it's this thing floating around the internet with this one guy, man. He brought his wife from... I think it was a Lamborghini,
a Ferrari,
$200,000. And so, you know, he's making up all these reasons why he bought it for his wife, and he didn't spend on the church money. But I kind of find that a little hard to believe, man, because these days you see all these pastors in these churches, and they're driving these most extravagant cars,
right, and dressed to the nines.
Yeah, and then you look at the parishioners and everything, you know, and they coming in there, they don't really have much.
They can't put two quarters together to save their life.
They can't rub two nickels together. And you know, you go in a big church, and it's another thing. This guy came down a zip line, man. You know, I'm looking at the zip line. Why is he coming down a zip line?
And WWF.
You know,
like he a wrestler,
you know, or, you know, I guess he's supposed to be one of God's angels, man, but you ain't got to do all that, man. No. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
You're going to burn in hell.
Man, I'm pretty sure God is like, you don't need a zip line to run my church. You know, and then, you know, thinking about it, remember Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
He didn't even want to let those Houston flood victims in his,
go in his
mega church.
Because he had it. That's a moneymaker. He can't let them in his house.
Exactly,
like that.
Man. These homeless people, he can't let them in there, man. And no, so, it's just like, man.
He goes to Astrodome.
I'm pretty sure that those churches are a couple quarter million dollars that they put in those churches.
Oh, man. If not more, way more, yeah.
You know, so I just look at it, man. So what is it really about? Is it about, you know, the Almighty Father, or is it about the Almighty Dollar? And so, you know, that's kind of why, you know, I don't visit churches as much as I used to, you know, because you just don't know. And I still try to go, but man, it's just crazy now that you have these churches, man, and they're asking for $5,000 donations, $10,000 donations.
Credit cards.
Yeah, and it's just insane. It blows my mind that this is where we are right now.
It's just, when you got to think about these churches, right? Like, at this point, a church here in Dallas is almost like a fraternity, sorority type situation. Like, they give, who the hell got a bumper sticker of a church on their car? Well, T.D. Jakes' Eibach, if you ain't rocking the Eibach with the black logo, red lettering on your car, you're not amongst the few who are in this network of people. Now, I can understand networking is a great thing to do, and church is a good place to network. And it's good for us as people who are in the urban society, who are Hispanic, who are African American, to be able to congregate and talk amongst each other and try to spread the wealth. Yes, I get that, because that the Caucasians have been doing that for centuries.
Yeah.
And they've cornered that. They've cornered that to where they can spread the wealth within their community and have people network at church, at functions, at whatever the case may be. They learned how to get together without having to shoot each other blow something up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, okay, I'm good with that. T.D. Jakes got his church like that. But now, a few years ago, I saw one of the ladies who was working as a parishioner. She got into something, and then next thing you know, they dragging her out the back door. All right, you gonna tell me as a pastor, as a church, you couldn't figure out any other way how to deal with that lady, regardless if she was stealing or not, or maybe she was getting loud? You are supposed to be the holier than thou.
Yeah.
We're supposed to look at you to tell us if a situation like that occurs, how are we supposed to act? And your first go-to thing is to get her out of there, drag her out by all means necessary?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the mega churches. And it's like, okay, now you got a mega church. You got the transgender. You got Dwight Howard with the gay. He's on TV. He's an NBA star. He's not as big as he used to be, but he's still one of the big top players. And you're going to tell me now all these things are related for a reason? That's just, It's that masculinity that Dave Chappelle, that Eddie Murphy, everybody y'all talked about. Like, hey, they're demasculizing us so that we're less than an actual man. And they said, you know, it goes back to back in the day when we were all counted as a half of a man or three-fourths. Yeah. So we weren't all a full person.
Yeah, so basically right now, you know, it seems like men are more feminine now. Is that what you're saying? Like, yeah. You know, metrosexuals, but beyond metrosexuals, you know.
A little too flamboyant.
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, even if you look at certain things, you know, in the hip-hop industry right
now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you look up in the hip-hop industry, man. I mean, you got these dudes with the man purses and the quote-unquote skirts, yep. Dresses and all that stuff. It's supposed to be fashion. Dude, that shit.
Blouses.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. We know what that is, man. You know, we know what that is, man. You know, so that's just what it is, man. Hey, you know, but some funny shit. Did you see that thing with Kodak Black and Ebro?
I mean, I saw, you know, they got into it. And when they talked about how they're arguing, I couldn't really follow it because I just can't get behind Kodak Black, man. I mean, when he talks, he just seems like either he's trying to start something or he's just trying to make a name by coming out against being against something just for the sake of being against it. Maybe. So you tell me what was the real point? I know Ebro's a pop star.
Yeah.
Ebro's been in the game since the early 90s, late 80s. So I already know he's got skins in the game. But Kodak Black, yeah, granted, he is a great, great, great artist. But at some times, man, you got to just relax. You got to kick back and relax.
Man, you know, I try to get behind Kodak Black because he's from where I'm from. Shout out to Broward County. But I just kind of feel like, you know, the days of the actual lyricists, I mean, they're going away like the dinosaurs, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but even when I try to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt, either I can't understand what he's saying or I just can't get behind the lyrics, man. But I will back him up on the Ebro thing, man, because the man was asking him some weird questions. You know, he was asking him questions about, like, hey, you know. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, oh, man, what's the thing? You was smoking in front of your kids, you know, and I know you got this assault charge against women. And listen, man, you know, I don't believe in any of that stuff. But if I come on your show,
right,
you know, we coming to just, you know, talk or whatever, man. Don't bring up, you know, stuff my cases. Don't bring up my cases, homie. Don't do that. You know, to me that's off limits.
Right, but you see, know, Kodak Black has been known not to know his hip hop history. He's been known to be checked about the greats in the past, and he can't give an answer. Now, come on. Now it's like the Caucasians have the White House.
Yeah.
The hip hop game has Hot 97. This is Hot 97. You're not going to 106.1 Kiss FM dealing with Kid Craddock and the crew. No, you're going to Hot 97. Known to get shot up, known to come through a fight in the parking lot, fight inside the studio. You're in Hot 97. This is hip hop royalty you're inside of. Ebro, okay, now Ebro goes back to a Tekashi 6ix9ine. Kodak Black should already have known that Ebro was already being looked at as being suspect against Tekashi 6ix9ine. They say Ebro's working with the feds. Nobody ever knows, shit. But hey, the hip hop police are watching. So you, Kodak Black, you go in there, you go to an interview, you gotta be able to maintain your composure, bro. Like, you can't be, what is the word we would like to call? You can't be obvious to the fact that you can get your buttons pushed.
Man, but you know, looking at Kodak Black, man, if you look at Kodak Black, you know, he's still a real young dude, man. Mm-hmm. He's a real young, man. Everybody in the rap game are pretty much is young. But for some reason, man, I think whoever his publicist is, they kind of need to kind of educate him a little more on how to, you know,
how to move.
You know, how to talk, how to move. how to, you know, he needs a real PR person.
Yeah.
Because right now, man, whoever his PR person is, they ain't doing no justice. Now, I ain't gonna lie, now, that ski mask shit was funny as hell. That interview with the ski mask, that is the most retarded shit I ever seen.
With the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, I can't say retarded no more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most special ed type. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say it no more.
But see, Kodak Black, wasn't Trick Daddy trying to put him under his wing? Weren't people from La Florida trying to, hey, man, don't move like that. Relax. Because look, I get it. We're in the day of age where everything goes viral.
Everything
goes viral, right? But people, okay, Rick Ross, he moves. He's got the same suspicious questions asked about him, and you don't see him blowing up like that. He don't walk out of interviews. You got to keep it moving. Just keep talking about something else. Change the script. Man, learn from your old hip-hop heads. Now,
he tried to change the script, though.
Okay, but like Ebro said, I mean, I'm not on Ebro's side. I'm on Kodak's side. I'm just saying.
He wants
to have a balanced show. Okay, yeah, bro. You on the show? You want to promote what you're doing now? Bam, bam, bam. I'm out here doing shows, blah, blah, blah. Album coming out. Boom. All right, cool. That's your 50. Now, my 50 is, hey, what's up, man? You got this assault case, bro. Come on. Did you learn from it? Is it true? Is it not true? You don't want to talk on it? Fine. But I got, as a old hip-hop head journalist, I got to bring it up, man. Because if I don't bring it up, then I'm looking at, like, I'm suspect, like, hey, you're not being true to the game of being a journalist on the hip-hop side. Yeah.
Yeah, you got
to
ask tough.
But shit, how you tell me you can't talk to Ebro, but you can go, people can go on Vlad TV. Everybody know Vlad TV is the hip-hop cops. But people are on Vlad TV all day long. Yeah, we were out there in the club. Yeah, we shot him such and such, blah, blah, blah. And then that was when they get arrested 2 weeks later. Oh, well, you know, Vlad's a snitch. Okay, you knew that. You still went. You still talk. He ain't. Who's stupid? Him or you? You the one that did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I think he'll learn in time how to move. You know, but right now, man, he ain't got the right PR person, man.
Yeah.
His whoever doing his public relations, they need to be fired on spot. And, you know, maybe he doesn't have that right now. You know, I mean, when you first make it, you come out the hood, you know what I'm saying? You bringing all your peoples with you. You know, you hiring your peoples. You hiring family members. You know, you're not thinking about spending money to hire somebody who really knows their, you know, their stuff. But you just bringing along the people and be like, all right, man, my auntie know how to talk to people. You know, so I'm going to let my auntie handle stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is things you got to think about. But I mean, come on, man, somebody drop that bag in your lap. You ain't thinking about that stuff. You like, man, I got this bag. I'm finna blow this bag. I'm finna live it up. Man, I'm finna hit the club. I'm finna make it rain with these stacks. You not thinking about that PR, man. Ebro just hit him back and forth with everything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But that goes to show you, he don't got, like you say, he don't got nobody there telling him, look, I didn't do this stuff. Yes, I'm bringing it up to your attention. And yes, it is embarrassing. He was embarrassed. When somebody walks away, they embarrassed. Okay. Real men talk. He walked off. He's embarrassed. It's nothing. You're not less of a man because you got embarrassed. But that obviously shows you nobody close to him has said these things to him, because the way he took it is like the first time he's like, oh man, how you gonna say like something like that to me? You know, like almost like a child. Like you said, he young minded, right? But Ebro's just like, man, you out here doing your things. Like we've all been young. We've all been out on the stoop. We've all been outside doing our thing. Granted, we were outside doing our thing. It was no big deal. We do it, bye bye, get caught up, go to jail, whatever the case may
right,
be.
Right.
Go home, go to bed, bam, get up, do it again the next day. The moment somebody, such as somebody who's a friend of yours, that say, hey man, I heard you went to jail yesterday because you were over there breaking into that car, and you get mad. What you mean I'm breaking into that car? What are you talking about, man? Blah, blah, blah. You get offended because you know damn well how stupid that sounds coming out of somebody else's mouth. And now you feel dumb, but you react in a way like, oh, why are you talking shit? Nah, bro, I ain't talking shit. You did that. You mad at the fact that I'm bringing it back up to you. So you embarrassed. Now, you're a type of person who hasn't learned how to take in criticism. So now you react in a way like you make it. Kodak Black almost reacted as if Ebro is the one that did that shit, and then pointed the finger at Kodak Black. Yeah. Because he knows how dumb that shit sounds. Like,
he should have wore that ski mask.
Yeah.
Should have wore the ski mask and show Ebro that he meant business.
Well, you know, the ski mask and all that stuff is like Ricky Williams used to wear the helmet.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man. Whatever gets you through your interviews.
Right.
So, you think when Offset did what he did to try to get Cardi B back, you think he had good PR relations? That was just off.
That one, I don't know. They shared. So, but what I understand, they share PR people. Cardi B and Offset are the same management group. They're a bundle package. And so, the way I see it is that people should have got fired left and right. If I'm Cardi B, I'm fired. Bam, 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 bam. All y'all fired. Y'all fired because y'all made me look stupid on stage. Y'all let him get by. You don't know what he could have done to me. You don't know what I could have done. All this shit could have happened on live TV. Then we messing up the paper.
Man, you gonna run it back, man.
I get that. That's no doubt. We been on both sides. Offset on a whole different level. Bam, right. Now he's 25 years old. Again, another kid out there acting like a kid. And at the same time, Cardi B's like, look, man, I'm trying to make that paper. I'm trying to make real money. I done made dumb money. Now I'm trying to make smart money. And you messing up the family name from what you did. And now you want me to look stupid with you so that you don't feel as dumb because you got something. You know what I'm saying? It's always easier if somebody's with you if you two feel stupid. But if you're by yourself feeling dumb, it's a little harder to take.
Man, he spent 15 racks on some flowers to get her back, man. I mean, he came on stage. He like, hey, listen, man, but the text though, man. You know the text, you though.
He
man.
Was feeling good about himself. He was out there feeling good. He was
thirsty, man.
Yeah, he was feeling good about himself.
He was that.
But nobody made him get married to Cardi B. Nobody told him to have a baby with her. He's 25 years old. His dad said, "My son's not perfect."
My throat dry.
Yeah.
Thirsty. He was at my throat dry. I'm thirsty.
And then his pops is talking for him. I mean.
Well, see, my thing is all the time, especially, you know, in the hip hop, whatever. I mean, it ain't hip hop no more, but you know, whatever. Rap game, hip hop, whatever. Is that, you know, you a famous dude. I mean, Amigos been out for a couple of years now. You know, I think they pretty much, outside of Ray Smyrna, are like the hottest group there is right now.
Right.
You know, and then they each kind of branching off doing their own thing.
Right.
You know, so if you know you out there, you famous, all this and all that, why are you trying to settle down, but you know you really don't want to settle down? I think it's really to kind of pull a low-key Jay-Z, Beyonce. You know,
right.
Oh, this, you know, she the hottest thing, we the hottest thing. Let's link up peanut butter and jelly. You know, we go together like peanut butter and jelly right now.
Right.
And but you know you gonna still be doing your thing.
Peanut
so
butter and jelly time.
Exactly. Peanut butter and jelly time. You know, so why even?
They got married,
though?
Yeah, they're married.
They were married, dog.
That's a husband. That's their kid. Their husband, kid. They want to live the good life, and they want to have family.
Everybody
want to
live a good life. Right.
But if they can't, I don't know, man. You know who you're dealing with. It's Cardi B. You see how she act. You see how she on social media. How do you think this is gonna go? Man, I get it. Well, you thirsty and you feeling yourself and you're like, oh man, I'm shit. I got all the females out here calling. I'm about to hook up with these two 19-year-olds, make this happen, bam, bam. I'm gonna tell the boys, they're gonna be like, what's up? That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, bro. But at the same time, it's like, yo, Cardi B find out, that's gonna be your ass. And then it's not gonna be just between the house, it's gonna be out in the public. You gotta know who you're dealing with.
Man, you said this a little minute ago, man. In the days of social media, man,
especially with TMZ. I don't know how they get their hands on everything.
Hip hop police.
But man, they get their hands on everything. Man, let me tell you something. You know, if you got to go to the bathroom, TMZ gonna tell you what you finna do before you do. Yeah. I don't know how they know, but they know. You know, and so man, you got to watch the way you move.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's a good spot we should pick up on next time is with the TMZ situation. We should explore that a little more. Because a lot of people who go to TMZ, Tyrese, Kanye, you know, everybody in tech with TMZ. And don't get me wrong, we got another subject we need to get into is Tyrese, because Tyrese is on a whole different level, and so was Kanye.
Oh, man. If we do a topic on Kanye, man, you know, we might spend about a good hour on Mr. Kanye West. Yeah,
but we're gonna stay for the first three albums, though, first, for a little while. We're going to give him his due on the first three, because I knew he was on a whole different level when he hit those first three CDs.
Dog, I ain't gonna lie to you. I only know one Kanye's album. Out of that, I don't know what Kanye has. To be honest with you, and I'm gonna just say a little bit, I feel like Kanye should have stuck to making beats, man. The man is one of the greatest producers as far as making beats wise that I've, you know, ever heard. But, you know, that's, you know, like you say, that's another topic, you know. So
yeah, we'll pick it back up.
Well, yeah, we'll wrap this up, man. So, you know, first episode of Soul Food and Salsa, man. Oh, man, I just messed it up so bad. We're going to try that one more time. The first episode of Soul Food and Salsa. I got it right this time. Man.
It's Bean Squad.
Bean Squad and JB the G. And we coming, man. We coming. So look out for us. And see y'all next time. Have a good one.